following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, I wanted to turn to Luke 4:4. I wanted to share something tonight. Frankly, this is something I've shared over the last year, so it may be a repeat. Not in this order or way, but it's going to be encouraging, I think. Been talking a lot about healing, and the title of the night is Power-Packed Words of Healing and Life. As you know, I'm facing a significant challenge of a malady in my life that I need a lot of intercession. And what's amazing to me, when this malady was spoken to me, which I declare tonight in Jesus' name, I am healed. I know I'm healed because of the Word of God. I want to say something about it's very popular in charismatic circles when you're sick to say, well, I'm healed because it is written. And then people quote Bible verses. And it causes a lot of problems because sometimes people don't get healed. They die, or they get worse, and then they get bitter because they say, I don't understand, Lord. It is written. I claimed, named, and stood on, and yet I died, or I got my child died, and it become bitter. Can I amen? It's a word, faith. And what it is, it's a well-meaning approach, but it's based upon a deception. And I believe, as I've shared many times, is the written word, call it the Greek word for word is logos. It's inscribed, written out. But then there's this Greek word for word meaning rhema. It's a transliteration. And the word rhema lists the definition, a spoken or quickened or living word, as opposed to the transcribed written logos. Rhema is the living word. You hear it in your spirit. It's the word of Jesus, the word of the Spirit in our spirit. Amen? It's a living word. And here's the classic verse, Luke 4:4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? And that word is rhema. A lot of people quote that for mean logos. No, he's not talking about Scripture. He's saying we live by the rhema. We live by the quick and the living. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and his saints. Psalm 85, I think it's verse 6. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger's voice they will not follow. Jesus speaks. The shepherd speaks to our spirit. Christ is alive. The Holy Ghost was given that we could hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said in John 19, I think it was, everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. Okay? He's not talking about the truth. He's talking about his voice. The voice of the Spirit. I think it's in Isaiah 50 says, he opens my ear morning by morning. He opens my ear to hear as the learned, to hear the voice of the Spirit. God speaks. But it's a living word. It's a breathing word. It's inspired. It's from the Spirit of God. And we live by the Spirit. He's a living God. He wants to interact and comfort us. He wants to speak to us all day long by the Spirit. Amen? He wants to be in us a well springing up and out of us rivers flowing. It's amazing what you hear if you just dial down and listen for the rhema. There's far more rhema coming at us than I think we understand. Whenever I wound up in the hospital, like I shared last week, I determined to not have any stimuli, no movie or TV, no music, no books, nothing. Reading. In fact, the only thing I read in the Word usually was the one-year Bible reading of the day. I just stared at the wall. When you feel bad, that's all you want to do. And then at times when I could get to a chair, I stared out the window. And day after day after day, more hours than I've ever done in my life, was spent just me naked before God. Listening, wrestling, facing silence and rest, going deep, hearing. And what I'm so grateful for is a stream of rhemas came my way. Just, I cataloged them. I now have them typed out on my computer. And they're still coming. They're trickling in now, not as rapidly. But at one point there, they were coming almost every day. Significant life-changing words of God concerning my life, the future, hope, encouragement, visitation from God, visions, dreams. I had just about everything other than an audible voice. I didn't hear an audible voice. But I had about every other method. I did have an open vision. I mean, my eyes are open. Sherry's in the restroom blow-drying her hair, and I'm seeing right there an open vision. And I transcribe these things, and those become living words to me. It's the reason I consider tonight at peace in my spirit, live in the moment, even though in the natural I have rather a bleak prognosis. It's because of the rhema. I figured I'd preach on it because I want to encourage myself. Because rhema is what I live by. Dude, I am out in the ocean, and the rhema is my life preserver right now. Amen? When I was in 82, summer 82, I had a new job, and a bunch of us went to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I was on top of a mountain. I've shared this, and we walked by this guy on a bench, and we introduced ourselves. We came back around, me and my friends, he motioned over to me. Turned out he was a preacher having a quiet time up there on top of that mountain. And he said, come here. He says, I have a word for you. He pointed to me. Never met the guy before. Just met him a minute before and introduced myself. So we walked by. He said, the Lord has a word for you. He says, you're fixing to have a change in your life. He wants you to know that every hair in your head is numbered, and it has to do with your job. I look at the guy and say, I just gotten this job. I had it for a year. It's great. I just got a nice company car. Things were going wonderful with my job. I said, okay. I went to the bottom of the mountain. I pulled out a little booklet. And I wrote that prophecy down. Now, that was what I call a rhema, a prophetic word of knowledge from a preacher on a bench on the top of a mountain in Hot Springs. We drove back to Houston. My vacation was over. I walked to my office that Monday morning. My boss motioned me over. He said, come here. Y'all remember the downturn in the economy in Houston in the early 80s? Well, our company we were selling construction materials. It was subsequent to this I got in the oil patch. But he said, Chris, hate to say it, you were last hired. Guess what happens when you're last hired? You're first laid off. So I couldn't believe it, man. My first job out of college there, and went on unemployment. Freaking out. No opportunity came up. And then all of a sudden, my dad, a gentleman that worked for my dad for 25, 30 years, named Vince Campbell, asked me to come to New Orleans. And he said, why don't you rep for a company called MCS, building these giant floating concrete production platforms in the oil business. So since he was worked for my dad and he knew me from when I was born, they hired me. I was in Houston rep. I went to New Orleans to study and lived in a condo of a friend of the family, and it was kind of a cool time. I had an office in Lake St. Charles, but I remember when I first got to New Orleans, I was staying with my little brother in Metairie, and I was walking down the street, and I was completely away from Redeemer and all my friends. I was ripped out of everything in my life, and I remember walking down the street just freaking out, lonely, homesick. Where are my friends? What am I doing? What's going on? And I remember walking under the street lamp, and the Holy Ghost reminded me. He whispered in my ear, every hair in your head is numbered. Don't you remember what the guy said on top of the mountain? I went, oh, yeah, and it was like I had a life preserver. It got me through. I realized, wow, I'm in the middle of something. God provided. And sure enough, it was because I was in New Orleans that a brother encouraged me to go to Beaumont, and I got prayer for deliverance and opened me up to the deliverance ministry. And then 5 months later, I'm right back in the same apartment, the same house I rented, right back doing everything back in Houston with all my friends. Just right back. He planted me exactly right back with a far better job. That rhema was like a life preserver. You know, I've seen that, and I bet every one of y'all have got testimonies like that. Can I amen? In a difficult time, there's a word. There's a quickened light. God never leaves us destitute. He's faithful, man. He loves us. You know? Look at Luke 1:37. Just flip back. The angel appeared to Mary, highly favored. Said, you're going to have a child. Holy Ghost is going to upon you. Now look at this, verse 37. The angel said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you see that? Do you know what that reads in the literal? Let me ask you, in your versions, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Is that pretty much what your versions say? One of the literal renderings of that is this. Listen, No word from God shall be without power or impossible to fulfill. That's really what it means. No word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In other words, if it came from God, it will be fulfilled, period. If it's rhema, it will come to pass. Now what's interesting, in verse 38, she said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? According to your rhema." That's what it was. She's saying, look, that was a quicken, that was spoken from an angel. See, like I said, rhema words you can stand on. The fallacy of the word faith is they deify the Bible over the living Christ. They pluck Bible verses out and stand on them, and that may or may not work, depending on whether that particular scripture is breathed on by the Holy Spirit. But when you have a rhema, you can stand on it all day long. Amen? You can name and claim and blab and grab and you can embrace. And I've had some significant rhemas to the point where I know in Jesus' name that I'm healed. And I declare it in the name of the Lord. It was that significant. Look at Hebrews 6:4. I would submit the reason many of us don't experience more rhemas, are you ready? Is too much mental distraction. We don't get still and hear. We don't hear His voice. There's too much stimuli. When you're in trouble or trauma or something comes along, you run to something to hide in. You run to a good novel or a movie or a TV show or a magazine, or you go to hang out and do something where it'll get your mind off your problem. Can you hear amen? But what you don't do, rather than, you need to come to Jesus with no stimuli and get still and be still, and you'll hear a rhema, a living word, a quickened word that embolden you and impassion you. And when the hell hits and the demons come, you can stand like, you know, firm in the storm. You know, in Ephesians 6, he says, having done all, stand in the evil day, putting on your armor. That's what he's talking about. The evil day is when the enemy comes back and blasts you on the basis of your situation. And a rhema gives you the wherewithal to stand against the forces, or he calls it the blast of the enemy, just to stand there calmly against the wind where you're not bending because you've got a word from God. But a lot of us, unfortunately, we too often run to stimuli and we miss that quickened word. And then we go through it and then we have to, can I amen? And you experience things like fear and anxiety and torment and frustration, and you plunge, all of that stuff, because you've not availed yourself of the manna from heaven that's particularly available in times of trouble. He's a very present help in time of trouble, Isaiah 4, Psalm 46. Hebrews 6:4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good what? Guess what word that is. Look at this. He's talking about a spirit-filled believer. You, the heavenly gift, tasted the good rhema of God. Then look at the next verse. And powers of the world to come. That's really what the rhema is. It is thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's God speaking from heaven. It's a heavenly word. It's from the throne. And it's exactly what you need. A word spoken in due season. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. How much more from the lips of the Lord? Perfect timing. From the Lord. The millennial blessing is now through rhema words. He said the powers of the world to come. There is a world that's coming, guys. There is a millennial reign. Lamb will lay down with the lion. Children will play upon the hole of the asp. Men will live 1,000 years. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let me tell you, there is a power in that world that's available in this world. It's through rhema words. That's what he says, the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. We can literally reach the bread of tomorrow through rhemas. God is speaking the future to now. First fruits of the kingdom to come. Amen? As we dwell in the heavens, as we live in the heavens, learn to walk in heavenly places, as a verse that's meant a lot to me lately, If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things who are above, where Christ sits in the heavenly. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your mind, the word in Greek is affection, your heart on things above. When we dwell seated in the heavenly places, we tune in and dial in, then we're able to handle this muck and mire and gaga down here in this reality. But this is not reality. Reality is the spirit world. Reality is the heavens. We're in the heavens. We're spirit creatures. And the problem is the enemy just does all he can to keep us from getting in the spirit. One of the nurses in the hospital, Sharon and I had an opportunity to minister to her. She's a fireball lady named Flonda. Really neat lady. But she came in all bummed out one day and down, and I'm all wiped out, but God helped me to minister to her, and I talked to her about Jonah and the whale, how God commanded that fish to spit him out when he gave thanks. I told her about hurricanes. I said, Flonda, what's in the middle of a hurricane? She says, an eye. I said, isn't that cool? God, right in the middle of a storm, put a place of total peace. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost hit that lady. I prayed for her. She came in yesterday beaming. And the next day, she came in beaming. Come to find out she'd been mad at God for several years. She'd a Holy Ghost Pentecostal girl. She'd shut down and mad at God for years because one of her boys was incarcerated. But praise God, she came in the next day full of the Holy Ghost. And she went the triple extra mile helping me as a nurse the next few days. It paid off. She had, what, 16 patients. She spent most of her time in my room. So I think God really helped me. But I told Flonda about that hurricane. In the middle of every storm, there's this unique eye of incredible peace. Guys, that is a picture in nature of the place we'd abide. You got to move, though. How many of y'all have actually been in the eye of a hurricane, experienced the eye of a storm? I probably about 6 times since I grew up on the Gulf Coast, New Orleans, Lafayette, here. I remember Alicia, the eye went right over Bell Street House. And it's a phenomenal thing. When I was in Lafayette, we had a 1971, right after I got saved, we had a storm blow through. I never forget it. We're running around the campus like idiots, you know, in a storm. But when the eye came, the wind stopped, and I promise you, looked right up, saw the blue sky. It was amazing. We were in the quadrangle of the University of Southwestern Louisiana, out there on skimboards, you know, having fun with the hurricane. We went in the quadrangle because there was absolutely nothing. It was surrounded by building. There was nothing could blow on you. So it was kind of safe, just wind. And I thought, that is a phenomenal thing. God created this place of peace. That's where God's called us to be. But you got to keep moving, man, like following the cloud. Look at Ezekiel 47:6. I want you to see the room. Ezekiel 47, a hint of the millennial reign. Because he said the powers of the world to come. Well, what is the world to come? Do we have any hint in the scripture of the world to come, of the millennial reign when Jesus reigns on this earth, that I think is not too far from now? Ezekiel 47:6. Y'all there? This is an amazing chapter. This is a chapter about the millennial reign. And we talk about the waters to the knees and the ankles. That's in the preceding verses. But I want to point out one scripture, verse 6. And he said to me, Son of man, an angelic being was kind of showing Ezekiel in the spirit. He was literally sitting, listen guys, looking at the heavenly kingdom in the millennial reign. The angel brought me and caused me to return to the brink of a river, verse 7. Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other, verse 8. And he said, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go into the desert, and go into the sea, which brought forth into the sea, the waters will be healed. Verse 9. And it'll come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever the rivers come, shall live. And there will be very great multitude of fish, because these waters come there, and they will be healed. And everything shall live where the river comes. Isn't that cool? Wherever this river touches, the barren ground will flourish, the dead will rise and live. Now look at verse 12. And by the river upon the bank thereof on this side and on that side will grow all trees for meat, whose leaf will not fade, neither shall the fruit be consumed. It'll bring forth new fruit according to its months, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit will be for meat, and the leaves will be for medicine. He said there is water flowing out of the sanctuary, and on both sides of the river there are trees, and these trees are phenomenal trees, unceasingly bearing, and the leaves, the fruit will be for meat, and the leaves will be medicine for the nations. Now, does that sound like something we can find today? Flip over to Zechariah 13, the second and last book in the Old Testament. What is this waters? Where are these waters coming from that water the desert and bring forth trees that have eternal, I believe, the tree of life and have leaves of medicine? Look at Zechariah 13:1. Here again, he's talking about the millennial reign, the 1,000 years. He says, in that day there will be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And he goes on and talking about, but I want you to look at chapter 14 now, verse 8. Look at this. And it be in that day, look at this, that living waters will go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea. In summer and winter it will be, and the Lord will be king over all the earth, and that day there will be one Lord and his name one. Guys, I would submit this river that he's describing throwing out from the sanctuary of Jerusalem with the Lord reigning is the same river in Ezekiel. But you got to look at this. John had the clearest picture of the river. Look at Revelation 22. This gets clearer as you go. Let's go all the way back into the Bible. This is the clearest picture. It's the same thing. Ezekiel saw it. Zechariah saw it. Now John saw it. You know, Revelation gets brighter and brighter. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. Old Testament Revelation gets increasingly brighter to Revelation 22. Look how clear this is now. Revelation 22:1. Same scene. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. And on either side of the river, there was what? The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Notice how much detailed it is now. And yielded her fruit every month. Now watch this. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, is that cool? We saw a progressive revelation of a phenomena of supernatural living waters flowing out of the throne of God. Now, listen to me. The reason I showed you that is the bottom line is those waters are available now. Isaiah 46, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Jesus said in John 4 that I will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But in John 7, he said, for in that great day, the day of the feast, he stood and said, out of your belly, as the scripture said, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for as yet he'd not yet been given. John 7, 37, 38. He was referring to Pentecost. On Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, he came like a rushing mighty wind. He was a river of living waters. A river gushed out of the sanctuary of the early church has been flowing ever since. And that river of the Holy Ghost given at Pentecost, according to Ephesians 1 and other places, was the first fruits. Was a foreshadowing of the glory of the Lord that will cover the water, the earth, as the waters cover the sea. And that we can tap that living water now. The millennial rain blessings now. It's interesting. Let me show you another thing of the millennial rain. Isaiah 35. Tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. This is right out of the millennial rain. although Jesus quoted it to John the Baptist, Isaiah was referring to the millennium. Again, we're going to see a reference to the river, Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness and the solitary place will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom as the rose. It'll blossom abundantly, as Isaiah 35:2. Rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given at the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Guys, we're talking about the millennial reign. They will see the glory of the Lord. Jesus will be reigning in Jerusalem. The glory will fill the earth. Now watch this. He says, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame man will leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb will sing. Look at this. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Guys, this is millennial teaching. Yet Christ did this and told John the Baptist, this testifies on the Messiah because I'm evidencing the world to come in this world. Now, isn't it interesting? Jesus then said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you receive. In other words, you too can experience the first fruits of the millennial reign in this dispensation. Everything that Christ did was a type of what will be commonly done in the millennium. Power over elements, stopping storms, creative miracles, death itself, healings. We have the ability to move in that in this dispensation. And it all has to do with the rhemas. Let's bring this to conclusion. Romans 10. Isn't that cool stuff? You know, literally, let me tell you something interesting. You know where it says, give us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer? You know one better rendering of the Greek is, give us tomorrow's bread today. The bread of tomorrow. Isn't that cool? Bread of tomorrow today. Romans 10, verse 17. I'm going to tell you the secret to rhema. This is verse very common. This is the secret to the rhema word. You ready? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word there is rhema. You ready? You know how you have faith to say to this mountain, be cast into the sea? You know how you have faith as a grain of mustard seed to command a tree, you know, a sycamore tree to be... You know how you have faith to lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and do supernatural? You know how you have it? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Not heard. Faith comes by what? Hearing, not heard. See, what you hear tonight is heard. But tomorrow when you're at a Walmart hanging out with Rena, she got the Walmart ministry, right? When you're at the gas station or when you're doing your store day ministry and business is slow and somebody says, yeah, my ankle's hurting. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Not by heard. Now you say, well, I heard Chris talk about healing last night. You know, and I heard a lot about healing. But your heard ain't going to give you faith. That's claiming and naming and grabbing and blabbing out of the Bible. Logos may or may not work. Sometimes I'm saying it doesn't. Most times it's heard. You need hearing. Faith comes by hearing. That's rhema. That's spirit. That's life. Jesus is standing right there. You have the boldness. You step out. Faith, by the way, faith works by love, Galatians 5. You love somebody. You be moved with compassion. You reach out. You care. You lay hands. And guess what? 8 times out of 10, the Holy Ghost will speak. You dial down and you listen. You say, come, Holy Ghost. I lay hands. Come. And you listen. And it just may be you'll get a rhema. You'll get a quickening. You'll get a sense of excitement. You get a sense of empowerment. You'll get a flash of joy. You hear. You may get a quickened word, a revelation. You may feel a pain in your body. Many ways the Holy Ghost speaks. That's rhema. The living Christ is saying, minister and the Holy Ghost to this person. And do what you hear. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do and only speak what I hear the Father say. Faith comes by hearing. It's a now reality. Faith jumps when you recognize the rhema. Man, when I heard those rhemas, my faith went to the ceiling. One night I was just tortured in the hospital, tormented. Demons crawling on me like maggots. It was a terrible night. And I cried out to Jesus in this little sweet Hispanic nurse comes in and ministered. It turns out she absolutely loved Jesus and believed in supernatural healing. Now, was that a coincidence? And ministered God's grace to me, lifted my spirit, and then the Lord spoke later. Rhema quickens you in the difficult times. We live by the Rhema of God. Amen? I crave it, man. And I'm learning to write it down. Amen? Inscribe that word. You know, sometimes God gives prophetic words. He does. And it's for the future. We don't talk a lot about the prophetic here, and that's my miss to that. We need to. Because there's imbalance, because there's excess, doesn't mean we should ignore it. The prophetic is real. I believe Norman prophesied over me last week when he spoke over the phone. I don't think he knew what he was saying, but he said some things over me. I think I felt it as a prophetic thing about this ministry and me in the future. I think God has given me a prophetic thing now. I've seen things I've never seen before. I've had the blank scared out of me, and I have a fire in me to warn people, believers, to flee from the wrath to come. There's a wrath. I can show you now. I found in Scripture. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 that though they are saved, are delivered from the day of wrath. I can show you places where believers are subject to the day of wrath. I found it. When you're harden your heart to the goodness of God that seeks to lead you to repentance, when you're in penitence and hardness of heart, you lay up wrath unto the day of wrath and righteous judgment of the Lord. He's talking to believers. I went, whoa. We all need to hear the quickened word. Amen? How many of y'all could use a good fresh word from heaven, a breath from heaven, a quickened word? I believe the Lord wants to speak more than we want to hear. The problem is, folks, it's simple. We deprioritize the spirit realm. We prioritize the things of the soul, the minding of the flesh. All that's in the world is the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life. And it blinds us, man, to the Holy Ghost who wants to breathe life into our spirit. I think there's a time and there's a place for amusements and distraction, yes. But once you've gotten that quickened, emboldened, encouraging word, then yes, you're riding on the waves. You're not allowing the waves to knock you, to hide. You're surfing the waves. Last place, Matthew 26:7-5. In conclusion, I want to close with a story of a man who missed a rhema to his chagrin and detriment. You can miss them. Y'all ready? I mean, we're going to look at when he missed it, and you tell me if you can't remember when the rhema came to him. Matthew 26:75. Immediately, you're going to remember the rhema. You ready? And Peter remembered the what? The rhema of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Had he gotten a rhema? What was the rhema? Christ told him. He even said it in front of everybody. Peter was kind of saying, "Oh, Lord, they may deny you, but not me." In his headiness and deception, God gave him a rhema from heaven. "Oh, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, and listen. Before the cock crows this very night, you will three times deny that you even know me." And do you know, Peter then vehemently denied to the Lord that he'd do that. Oh, no! Was that a rhema? So he went through it. Got out on the other side. And what does it say? And Peter what? Remembered the rhema. I would submit going forward, Peter dialed in the rhema a little more closely next time. Amen? He didn't want to go through that hell. He went through 3 days, guys, of hell. Well, actually, I think it was shortened. There seems to be some hint in Scripture that shortly, well, it was 3 days. Because shortly after the resurrection, there seems to be a hint that one of the first ones he showed up to was Peter. I can show you that. Special little saving all the universe from all the hordes of infinite hell, but he had a little rabbit trail. Let me go love on Peter, who was tormented with horror that the one he loved he denied. Jesus showed up special to Peter. Praise God. I love that. And the first woman he showed up to. Who's the first woman he shows up to? That demonized woman with all the devils. Amen? Those are usually the most grateful. She was out there in the morning, hanging out in the garden, empty tomb. She didn't care. Just wanted to be where he had been. That's where he showed. You loved much. You've been forgiven much. So guys, in conclusion, we must reduce and at times eliminate stimuli. We need to put silence in your life. Man, I've never been baptized in silence like I have the last several weeks. But the fruit of it is the fruit of life. Glimpses of the eternal. Guys, I have seen into heaven. And I'm not afraid. Praise God. It is pure. It is holy. It is beyond. I've had glimpses, but I've never seen like what I saw. It is beyond conception. The infinite purity and holiness of that place. Beyond, what is it? The eye is not seen. We cannot conceive. I'm not afraid. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But by golly, there ain't no way I want to go there any time before it's my time. Because Paul said to die is, to live is Christ, to die is gain, but it's needful. And my gosh, my prayer, I'm going to finish out my years. Ain't no devil from hell going to keep me back. I need you to bomb hell and storm heaven. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord said. His rhema is jewels from heaven. Why do you want to play with the plastic toys of the natural when there's jewels from heaven? Let's pray. Sprinkle your rain on us. Refreshing from heaven. I pray you'd wash all the way down our souls clear. Clear shining. The river of life. Crystal clear. Would make it all simple and clear. Amen. I pray you put angels all around us now. Protect us. Seal what you've done, Lord. Seal the revelation you've given us tonight. Pray a blessing over this whole church, everyone that's traveling. I pray you'll come this Sunday as the body comes together with a very strong anointing. You know, to lift us in a place we've never been. Lord, I pray that you'll open doors for all of us to the community to give away what you've given us. And you'll bring them in, Lord. Hurting, needy, desperate folks will walk in this house. And they will feel Jesus. They will taste the waters. Do it, Jesus. Amen?
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.